Well, as we've been discussing this morning, pressure is growing on schools around the country to do more to educate students on the matters of sex and consent. Last night, the New South Wales Education Minister, Sarah Mitchell, spoke with Chanel Contos. Chanel is a former student whose petition has put this whole issue on the national agenda. The minister told us earlier it's a topic that actually, consent is a topic that's already taught from the early years in all schools in New South Wales.
Really from kindergarten in New South Wales, there starts to be a conversation with our students in an age-appropriate way around things like recognising that people have the right to give consent, telling others not to touch their body where they don't want to be touched, understanding what parts of your body are private. And then obviously that moves in throughout the rest of the curriculum through to Year 10 about interpersonal relationships, respecting each other's, negotiating consent.
That's the New South Wales Education Minister, Sarah Mitchell. We spoke to her earlier. Now, some principals say they're already taking the lead and going above and beyond the state curriculum when it comes to these matters. Bryony Scott is the principal of Winona School, which is a private all-girls school in Sydney. Bryony Scott, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you for having me.
This whole discussion is prompted by that petition launched by Chanel Contos. There's been something like 2,800 responding testimonials from students, former and current students, to that call out. Sexual assault testimonies, basically. Since then, many people have been shocked by the harrowing accounts and looking to schools to lead the way to do better and make reforms. As a principal of a girls' school, do you think it's your job to do something about this?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I absolutely think that schools are responsible for ensuring that young people are educated around it, that young people have the skills they need to be able to navigate tricky situations, and that they also have a really strong understanding of their rights. Yes.
This petition has become a major force now, I think. As I say, thousands of girls and women have come forward with their stories. Were you surprised by the extent of these testimonies?
No. I've been a principal for 15 years. And we deal and look after young people during the week after incidents that have happened on the weekend. It's been behind the scenes. We've been really trying to get some sense of community, obviously response, but this has been the most effective. Being able to hear from the victims themselves and being able to hear from the girls themselves has just been the most powerful force. It's been a very good moment in Australia's history.
It's a good moment in that way, I suppose. It's a horrific moment, really, when you sit down and read these testimonies. I don't know if any of the testimonies were contributed from students from your school or former students from your school.
Absolutely, they were. Yeah, absolutely.
Have you spoken to the girls at school since the petition was out there? Are they aware of it? Are they engaged by it? Are they upset by it?
Very much so. Well, it's interesting. It depends, and this is one of the challenges. There's a lot of little challenges that take place with this. I went to Year 8 and walked in and had a conversation with them and said, what do you think about all that's happening with the consent stuff on the media? And they're like, consent? What do you mean? What's on the media? And so Year 8 will come at it at a different angle. Year 12, I spent an incredible hour with them just unpacking where they go and what they do from here and how we can support them.
That whole response from the Year 8's consent, what do you mean, goes to the heart of the issue at hand, really, because the consistent accounts, consistent element, thread of some of these accounts is that a lot of the girls didn't realise what that happened to them was wrong. They thought it was normal, it was something they had to put up with, or else just something they were so ashamed of they couldn't talk about. Does that suggest that the education system is failing to give them the information they need to protect themselves?
So let me clarify what they hadn't been following, and this was a week ago, was what was in the media.
When it
comes to consent training, that is absolutely, as the minister said, is stuff that is happening from kindergarten onwards. It hasn't always been that way, so schools are constantly reassessing and adjusting what they're doing and how they're educating young people. Whether a child picks it up, whether they're cognizant of it, what they remember, all you can hope to do is just go over and over and over and over again in the hope that when they're in a situation, they'll remember some of what they've been taught.
Okay, and Chanel Contos is calling for a change in the sex education program in schools to teach consent at an earlier age. Do you think that is a weakness in the system? I know you have mandatory sex education on the curriculum there at Winona, and you also have something called the Renaissance program at your school for year 12s. But by the time you're in year 12, that's too late, isn't it?
It's not too late. It reinforces what has actually been taught from kindergarten. And you have to, like, if you think of a different subject that's a little easier to kind of, that we can all relate to. I mean, I can teach a class full of kids about algebra, and some will hear it and pick it up really quickly, and some you have to go over and over and over again until they get it. So the concept around what you deliver in a school is never just a one-shot wonder. You have to start, and we do start from kindergarten, from my head to my toes, I'll say what goes. Like, there are things that you do around teaching consent that are appropriate for the as best you can for the age, and that you do that from kindergarten the whole way through. Now, is it perfect? Absolutely not. It is imperfect. And so schools do what they have always done, which is to constantly readjust and retweak what they're doing so that we can best protect our kids. And at the end of the day, we're the ones on the front line who are going, my job as a principal is to keep these children alive. It is to keep them safe. And a distant third is to educate them. So I will do everything I can in that order to make sure that they're okay.
As all morning, actually, as I've been previewing that this interview was coming up, I've had a lot of listeners texting in saying, what about boys? Don't talk to a principal from a girls' school, talk to one from a boys' school. I mean, issues of consent are not just for young women, of course, and perhaps more important for young men to learn about and understand consent. Do you think our boys are being properly taught about these issues at school and in society? Something seems to be very wrong.
In society, could not agree with you more. As to what's happening in individual schools, I can tell you it has very little to do with the actual community and everything to do with the leadership around that community. So you can have a co-ed school and have someone who is leading that community who doesn't have a clue, and you can have a single-sex boys and or girls in the same situation. They either don't have a clue or they're really good at it. So it depends a lot on the leadership. And I look at this, and I guess my narrative around this is I accept everything here. I'm happy to take all the criticism. I'm happy to do everything I can. But then I go, you are fooling yourself if you think schools are the only way this is going to turn around, because we are already busting a gut on the front line. We are really trying to make this work and to look after these kids who are in our care. We need the help of adults elsewhere. And I look around the nation, I look around the world, and I go, how's that going for us? Because there's not a lot of sense that adults elsewhere, they're quick to point the finger, aren't really that prepared to engage in, well, what can you do about it?
Yeah, and I'll come back to that in a moment because, I mean, in a sense, what we've learned from this petition, these testimonials, is nothing new. I mean, these are deeply entrenched and sexist behaviours being played out in these testimonies and beyond. Boys feeling the need and the right to conquest, that's how it's written up. Girls feeling powerless and then ashamed because they feel like somehow they brought it on themselves, they asked for it. These are age-old tropes. Boys sowing their wild oats, girls keeping themselves nice or not. How do we change this?
Well, firstly, you do exactly what Chanel and her friends have done, is you bring it out to the open, because light is the best disinfectant. So the more that it is talked about, the better. The challenge is that in an attempt to alleviate the discomfort that we all feel, we resort to binary solutions without engaging in the complexity. And so we need to understand and have the conversations around the complexity about this. How do I get a young kid, a 14 or a 15-year-old, to talk to me about what's happened to her if the first thing that I do is then instantly report it to the police, which I have to do? And so she's already had her voice overridden once. She comes, she goes, I don't want anyone to know because the shame is so real. And I go, I'm so sorry, sweetheart. I have to tell everybody. And so you're in this position where we have to engage in the complexity around this before we land immediately onto, well, if schools just did this, this would all fix the problem.
Well, it goes beyond the schools, doesn't it? I mean, it goes to the parents, it goes to the society, again, to this sort of notion that's centuries old about...
Spot on. And the challenge here, you see, so you go, well, what can you do? I look at what's playing out on the national stage and I go, you cannot tell me that. I mean, I can say everything I want, but the young people are looking at the actions of the adults and going, okay, this is normalised, this is the way it is. Within days of Parliament happening, we have the Human Rights Commission going in there, going, right, we're going to do a report. I go, who's doing that for the schools? The schools thing now has been going on for 2 weeks. Those Human Rights Commission people, they know what they're talking about. They know how to define the problem. And the most beautiful thing of all, they come out with recommendations that go, right, here's, if there are 2,000 recommendations, we will implement them to make sure that we can actually improve from where we are now.
Do you think there should be a human rights investigation into the school system? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
In New South Wales or nationally?
I would go nationally. I will take whatever I can get at this point, anything.
This has been described as part of, well, what's been described by some as a moment or a moment of national reckoning, and this petition and these stories from the girls and some boys is part of that. Are you worried that if we don't do something concrete, like a formal Human Rights Commission inquiry or something, it will be talked about for a few months and then just disappear and the schools will go and say, we've put on curriculum material and that'll be the end of it? How damaging would that be for the girls who have told their stories in particular?
Do you know, my whole thing around this is that I do not want these young people to A, even go through it, and B, then have to wait 20 or 30 years before they get to that age that women get to where they go, actually, I don't care what the world thinks anymore, this was not my problem. That's 20 or 30 years where they sit with these stories that they don't feel they can tell anyone because they're so ashamed about them. I would do anything to change that. I would do anything to make sure it doesn't happen in the first place. And then if it does happen, that they are genuinely heard and believed. And I tell you, the Royal Commission into Institutionalised Abuse, if it taught us anything, it taught us that young people don't lie about this stuff. There is nothing in it for them. There are no winners in it. So believing them and then being able to go, well, let's have a system in place or some recommendations that actually, from a societal point of view, that don't just look at these kids in schools, but look at them more broadly. What can we absolutely do as a nation? Absolutely. And then we go, the third thing I would ask for is, what are we doing? Like, so it's so easy to point at other people and go, well, you should do this better and you should do this better, and go, what are you doing about it? Like, every single one of us have opportunities to role model in front of young people how we behave and how you could behave.
Bryony Scott, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Dr. Bryony Scott is principal of Winona Girls' School in Sydney, making that call for an inquiry into the school system from the Human Rights Commission. And plenty of text coming in on this issue, but this one I think is probably worth reading out. Fran, my daughter's otherwise excellent systemic Catholic high school refused the girls' request for a session about consent because, quote, girls don't have sex before marriage. Seriously.